from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Joining me today, Jesse Tabia, filling in for Kyle Madsen, who's under the weather still, but he should be back relatively soon. Jesse, we got some stuff to talk about today.
We do. I was very excited to see the show this morning. The vibes are up. We're going to talk sports. I mean, what more could you want?
The vibes are up. I don't know if the vibes are all that far up when it comes to Sacramento Kings, but
their vibes, they need work on their vibes. Our vibes, though, we're up today.
Our vibes are here. Our vibes. We, if you're here for vibes, we will bring you the vibes, right? The Super Bowl is over and done with. It goes down as one of the greatest, the most watched shows of all time. 123.4 million people tuned in to watch the Super Bowl. That's up 7% from last year. 202 million tuned in for at least part of the game. Jesse, is that just crazy?
It's a crazy number, but it's not shocking, right? I kind of figured, like, I was expecting some kind of, like, not world record, but, you know, some record number for the Super Bowl just with Taylor Swift in it and all that. I just, you know, I was expecting something big. It's crazy, but it's not shocking, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, 7%, a 7% bump, that doesn't seem like the Taylor Swift effect, really. I mean, it was a good game, and I think people tuned in because they're like, okay, these are the two best teams, so that's going to be why a huge amount of people tune in. Then you have a whole bunch of people like my mom, who, like, texts me every day on every Super Bowl Sunday, you know, whoever she's watching that day, which is the only day she ever watches the NFL. I don't even think she knows what football is. And then all of a sudden she knows who's playing that day, which is weird to me.
There's also the aspect Patrick Mahomes does bring in viewers too.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, he does bring in the casual. So yeah, just everything mixed in all together. Yeah, I'm not shocked, but it is an insane number.
I also think the 49ers bring in viewers.
Yeah.
Like the 49ers are one of the NFL's storied franchises. We get kind of lost in that because we're here in Northern California, but they are still like a huge draw, both nationally, globally, everything else.
Yeah, they're one of the top tier NFL franchises as far as like the Pittsburgh Steelers and all that.
Yeah, I think
it's
so
kind
too.
Of like where they're going to have that following no matter what, I think. Because, you know, there's always going to be Montana fans everywhere from the 80s and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think that the Steelers, the Cowboys, the 49ers, and then probably, I know it's weird, but the Raiders have a lot of fans.
Yeah, they do.
I feel bad for them, all of them, but they do have a lot of fans.
I love Raider fans because they're loyal. They're loyal. That's all you can call them.
You know, it's funny. They're loyal when they literally follow the most disloyal franchise in the history of professional sports.
I mean, who among us has not followed a sports franchise as a knob a couple times?
Yeah, but it's one thing to beat you up and because they don't get there, but it's another thing to take your team to LA and then back to Oakland and then team to Las Vegas. Like, they're a disloyal group as a franchise. It's almost like, you know, they put up a tent and move from one town to the next. They're like the Cirque of the NFL.
It's also hard for fans too, though, because they do move to cool cities. I'm to Los Angeles. I'll go to Los Angeles to watch the Raiders or whatever. If I'm a Raiders fan, I'll go in and all that. Vegas, like, They are making it tough for the fans to leave.
Yeah, but, you know, the one good thing about the NFL is that it's only for home games. There's only 8 or 9 home games a year. And so it's not that bad for fans to hop on a plane. You know, it's what, maybe $150 to get down to Vegas. You could even go down in the morning and come back at night and not even have to pay for a hotel room. Or you could just, you know, have a good weekend in Vegas and spend like $3,000 because Vegas weekends are just a nightmare. I definitely think that the NFL is kind of built for that, you know, to go to Vegas for a weekend. That's where I think Major League Baseball is just making a tremendous mistake with the A's, because there's a way that they're going to sell out. And
everything about this is it's not going to work.
It's all there. No, I totally agree. As we close the book on the Super Bowl and with that, the 2023-2024 NFL season, like, the Niners have a lot of question marks going forward. You know, I think that a lot of things got answered in the Super Bowl as far as, like, Brock Purdy is your guy moving forward, at least from my view. But also, I think, you know, there's something like $43 million over the cap going into this offseason, and they've got to make some cuts. They've got to figure out a way to fine-tune the roster some way. What do you think? Are we seeing like the final iteration of this group, or do you think they're gonna be able to stretch this thing out for another 3 or 4 years?
We'll get one more year of this core group right here. Like, this group as it is that lost in the Super Bowl, we'll get one more year of them. I think like Chase Young might leave in free agency, but he's not, I don't want to say insignificant, like in a bad way, but more so like that's not going to affect them. We're like, they're not going to get back to the Super Bowl or whatever. They're going to have one more run they can make. I don't know if they're going to make it just because, I mean, we were reaching Buffalo Bills territory in the 90s where they're like going to go to like 4 straight Super Bowls. They did have the NFC Championship game against the Rams they lost to, but Rams won the Super Bowl that year. So like, you're going to have this much continued success. That's kind of difficult, but I think they have one more shot before it's kind of like, all right, we're going to move some pieces around and it's going to look a little different.
Man, that hurts. You just compared the 90s Buffalo Bills.
They're the modern day version of it to me.
Oh, that's tough.
Just because like you had the Super Bowl in the 2019 or whatever. Then I think that was the 2020 year they got hurt. So whatever, that's whatever. And then they lost to the Rams in the NFC Championship game where, like I said, Rams won the Super Bowl that year. And then this year, like they're one of the 4 best teams. And honestly, you could say one of the 2 best teams for the most part. And they just can't get it done. Like, everyone thought it was this year too. Like, this is their best shot. They got Chase Young. They have everything they need. And it just didn't happen again.
Yeah, really, really tough. I would expect minor tweaks. I mean, I'm sure that they're going to try to do something. And they're going to have to figure out a way to clear up salary cap space. There are all kinds of mechanisms. Like, I know the NBA, like CBA, inside and out. But the NFL is a whole nother beast. Like trying to figure out how they convert guys from, you know, they give them their salary bonuses, and then they convert those bonuses to salary a couple of years later. Like, it gets really, really dicey and really complex. And I don't know that I could walk through it all and figure out the path for the 49ers to get like salary cap solvent this year.
Yeah, that's not a job for us, James, thankfully.
Thankfully.
Some person in some office has to deal with that.
That's awesome. The San Francisco Giants got on the board. They landed a 32-year-old Jorge Soler on a 3-year, $42 million deal. Soler is a guy, you know, he's a he's from Cuba. He's sort of followed the Cespedes sort of pathway to Major League Baseball. I know the A's were interested in him when he was a young player coming over from Cuba. Last year, he batted .250 with 36 homers, 75 RBI with the Marlins. He's intriguing to me. He's primarily a DH at this point. But my concern with him is that he had 36 home runs this last year and walked away from like a $9 million guaranteed salary so he could go make it rich. He also did this one other time where he hit 48 homers in 2019. Outside of that, the 48 homer year and the 36 homer year, he's never hit more than 14 homers.
Yeah, this is a Giants had to sign somebody move. Like, he's a decent player and all that, but it's not like...
Well, he's got to be like middle of... Well, I don't think middle of your order bat. Like, I think he's a 5-6 hitter. Maybe for them, he's higher than that. But like in a perfect world, he's probably like a 5-6 hole hitter for you.
Yeah, he'll fit in there. He'll hit some home runs or whatever. Maybe hitting the triples alley or whatever they call it out there. But like, Meh, whatever.
It doesn't move the needle for you?
Doesn't do anything. They'll finish fourth, fifth, or whatever. We all know who that division belongs to.
That's brutal. Jesse's not in on the Jorge Soler signing. He's out. Let's get to this Victor Wembanyama game last night. 27 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists, 10 blocks.
This is better than Jorge Soler right here.
Right there. Okay, so you believe this to be better than Jorge Soler?
Definitely. I buy into this right here. The dude's insane. Like, I was talking to you about it before the show. Who's to say he doesn't get a quadruple-double sometime this year, sometime in his career, where he's putting up points, rebounds, assists, and blocks? Like, this dude is insane.
Yeah, I think the only player that I can remember ever getting the quadruple-double, maybe I'm wrong.
David Robinson
is the only one that I remember, like, in most of my time watching basketball. I think that there is someone else's, like there's probably 10 of them all time, I think, but I'm not sure who they are. Maybe I should research that at the break. I'll look it up. Like who?
Yep. With Wemby too, like it's kind of crazy because it feels like the Spurs, they've kind of got him in bubble wrap still. Like they're not fully unleashing him, I feel like. So it's like he's doing all this in limited time right now. So it's like once he gets his career going, and they get like decent players or like better players around him and all that, like it's just gonna elevate.
I'm really excited to see what he looks like in like 2-3 years because we've seen it even with Keegan Murray, how he was able to like rebuild his body in his first off season, and I kind of want to see what a pro staff that working with Wembanyama every day. I mean, before he got to the NBA, he had never lifted weights at all. Like, he does all these strange exercises. Have you ever seen him do, like, his foot exercises?
No, I haven't seen it.
Where he, like, literally walks across the floor, like, basically squishing his feet up. Like, he has all kinds of strange exercises that they've worked to help with his flexibility and make sure that, you know, his small muscle fibers, wrists, elbows, shoulders, ankles, knees are all strong. But no weights yet, and I'm kind of intrigued to see what he looks like once the weight room hits. We've got a Kings game tonight.
Can't wait.
Yeah, the Kings face the Phoenix Suns.
On national TV, too. TNT game.
TNT game. This is exciting. There's a lot riding on this game.
I think so, too.
I don't like saying that there's a lot riding on a game with 30 games left in the season. But, Jesse, there's a lot riding on this game.
These are the teams around you or whatever, and you want to see how you, not how you stack up, but more so like the Suns are a half game. I don't know exactly what they are. They're probably about, I think they're a half game, actually, up on the Kings right now. Like, yeah. You don't want to make it a full game or a game and a half or anything like that. Like, you do want to stick around. You don't want to get stuck in the play-in game either, in the play-in matchup. So, like, these games do matter.
Yeah, so as of right now, the Kings are tied with a virtual tie with the Dallas Mavericks for the number 7/number 8 seed in the Western Conference. But the Suns are a half game up on them, and I think you can throw the Pelicans in there too. The Pelicans, we'll get into a much larger discussion about this in just a little while. But this is... It really does feel like it's a big game, especially with the way the Kings have been teetering between, you know, great to bad on almost a nightly basis.
Well, we go from the Pistons dud to the Nuggets. Oh, wow, they blew them out, to the Thunder. Oh, they didn't even show up today. What do we get today?
That's right. That's right. Okay, we're going to step aside. When Jesse and I come back, we're gonna dive into this matchup between the Kings and the Phoenix Suns. It's a big one. Again, national TV, you're going to be out there in front of a big audience, and the Sacramento Kings need to figure out how to put on a better show than what they have against some of the teams that they've played lately. We're the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. We'll be back in just a sec.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Joining me today, Jesse Tapia, filling in for Kyle Madsen. The Sacramento Kings take on the Phoenix Suns tonight in Phoenix. I don't even, at this point, Jesse, I don't even look up what they're calling the Phoenix Arena anymore. I don't even know.
Like, do we even know what it is off the top of our head right now?
No, it's walking something, or it used to be the Talking Stick.
Talking Stick or Walking Stick. It might just be Phoenix Suns Arena now, I think.
No, it does have another name again.
I'm finding this out right now. Let me produce real quick.
I don't know. That's, for me, so first of all, the late great Greg Van Dusen, the late great Greg Van Dusen.
It's the Footprint Center, by the way, now.
The Footprint Center. Okay. He, whether this is 100% accurate or not, but he always claimed that it was his idea to go out and sell the naming rights to Arco Arena. And Arco Arena, like, realistically changes the landscape. Like, when Arco Arena sells, when they sell the naming rights to what, I don't know, would be like Sacramento Arena, whatever, that was like the first time there was a naming rights deal.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that.
Yes. So they end up getting a little bit of money. It wasn't even that much, but it was a long-term deal with Arco. And, you know, for years and years, I mean, we have Arco 1, we have Arco 2. I still, like, when you think of that building, it should be Arco. It shouldn't be Power Balance.
Power Balance Pavilion?
Pavilion. Was it Pavilion or Arena? And then it went to Sleep Train. I wasn't okay with any of that.
Like, yeah, it was like the Staples Centers and Crypto. Like, I'm not calling it Crypto. It's still Staples.
It's still Staples, right?
So, is that even a business still?
No, I don't think it, like, I'm not sure. It's like, if it is, they're being sued by somebody.
Or, yeah, that was a wild run that year.
Yeah, yeah. They're like the new .com, and it's like, it's worked out for some people, but others so much. Anyway, the Sacramento Kings are rolling into that arena in Phoenix, Arizona. A huge game, Jesse. So this is, they're going to drum roll, you know, finish up the pre-All-Star break schedule with a back-to-back tonight in Phoenix on TNT, followed by in Denver tomorrow, which is no longer the Pepsi Center. It's now something else as well. So what are your first thoughts when you think, oh, no, the Phoenix Suns followed by the Denver Nuggets to finish this thing off?
First thoughts is take it time. Right now you got a game where the Phoenix Suns are a half game ahead of you. Ramsey in the chat brought it up during the break. You win this one, you win the season series. They do have another game coming up due to the in-season tournament, right, with a fifth game?
Yeah, they have a fifth game.
So they have a fifth game, so you do have some breathing room or whatever, but like you don't want to get to that point. You want to end it where you can, because you already have lost the season series to the Pelicans. You don't want to make it to where, all right, we lost to the Phoenix Suns tonight. Now we got to take it to whenever they play again. It's like, all right, that's another high-pressure game where if you lose that, it's another tiebreaker you don't have. So I think as far as the back-to-backs, they got to take it a game at a time and focus fully solely on the Suns today.
Yeah, so the Sacramento Kings, they have been really good on the first night of a back-to-back throughout the season. They have not been good on the second night of a back-to-back, although they've had some improvements. They've actually...
Yeah, you could say they picked it up probably as of late. Not great, but...
It's not such a big deal where we have to mention it every single time they have a back-to-back. Well, they're going to lose tomorrow. But there's also a good chance that they could lose tomorrow. It's the Denver Nuggets. It's a very good team. Not only that, but you go from Phoenix and then you fly to Denver. So it's a late night flight. It's not an easy place to get into. And the elevation is always a killer. So I would expect if you're going to get the A game from the Kings, it would probably be tonight and not tomorrow, especially with the impending, you know, All-Star break. Everyone's just ready to pack their bags and get out the door. Kind of an interesting side note. I think everybody believes that the next player to get into the All-Star game, if there was an injury, would be Domantas Sabonis. But here we are, like, the All-Star weekend is this weekend. It sure does feel like there's not going to be an injury replacement in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I wouldn't say so. I don't think we've even heard any rumblings that could happen. I don't think, like, any players who, oh, he might not play this weekend in the All-Star game or whatever. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, just one of the most ridiculous.
Which is insane because it's always, I'm going to take it back to Will Z last week. He brought it up on D'Lo and KC. Like, Domantas Sabonis is putting up, like, this, and that since Will.
Yeah.
All right, I guess we're just not putting him in the All-Star game, I guess.
Yeah, it's one of the most ridiculous things you've ever seen, right?
It is.
He leads the league in triple-doubles with 17. He leads the league in double-doubles with, I think it's 48, including 35 consecutive. He leads the league in rebounding. He's like fifth or sixth in the league in assists at like 8.2 or 8.3 a game. He's averaging almost 20 a game. Like, the stats say he's an All-Star, and for him not to be in the All-Star game is
disrespectful.
Ridiculous. It is. Maybe he should go out there and create his own roster spot tonight or tomorrow night.
Just, why not?
Like, okay, Kevin Durant, you're going to come inside? Nope. How about you miss the All-Star game?
I'm for that. Yeah.
Devin Booker, you want to come in my house? Nope. No All-Star game for you this weekend. I'll take your spot. Maybe he can clear enough space in the next two games between Jokic and
just play your way into the game. Yeah, somehow play your way into the game.
And Devin Booker, maybe he can clear enough space for him and Fox to get into the All-Star game. Like, hey man, I got us. We're going. Like, Fox is like, I don't want to go. He's like, no, I got us. I got us, bro.
Yeah, Fox turned off to the corner like, I'm good.
No, man. Like, don't do it. He's like,
I'm with Fox, though. Let's give Fox a break.
Yeah, I'm going to grab Keon Ellis by his skinny little ankles, and I'm just going to swing him around the court and knock both KD and Devin Booker out of this game, and we're going to win.
KD wants to take the weekend off and get Sabonis that spot.
That's right. We do have an official Sasha Vezenkov injury update. Sasha Vezenkov injured his right ankle during practice on Friday, February 10th. Imaging confirmed Vezenkov suffered a grade 3 right ankle sprain. That is catastrophic. They will reevaluate him in 4 to 6 weeks. That's from the Sacramento Kings. That's breaking news as we speak right now. Grade 3 is the most severe. It does mean that he detached or snapped the ligament in his ankle, and now it's got to reconnect. De'Aaron Fox, a couple of years ago, took, I think it was like one of the fastest ever, like getting back from a grade 3, and it took 7 weeks. He missed 20 games. Most players are out 8 to 12. So this is a long-term injury for Sasha Vezenkov.
Yeah, that's tough, just especially because he hasn't been able just to find a flow this season. And this, like, it's 46 weeks or whatever, but I'd call it right now. He's probably not going to play much when he's coming back, I'm assuming.
Yeah. And I'm also going to point out, it was not on Friday. They didn't practice on Friday. They practiced on Saturday, the day before the Super Bowl. So their injury update is slightly incorrect. It was on Saturday when I guess they flew into Oklahoma because I talked to Sasha and he played Friday night and everything was A-okay. Let's get to projected starters. For the Phoenix Suns, we've got Bradley Beal. We've got Devin Booker, Grayson Allen, who has torn up the Kings a couple of times, Kevin Durant, and Yusuf Nurkic. Projected starters for the Sacramento Kings, the standard starters, Fox, Herter, Barnes, Murray, Sabonis. And then, of course, we like to do here is the matchup to watch. For you, what is the matchup that you want to see tonight?
De'Aaron Fox versus Devin Booker. Let me see the stars versus the stars.
You want to see the Kentucky connection?
I want to see the Kentucky connection. I want to see De'Aaron Fox. I want to see him step up today, too.
I think that that's the biggest thing, right? You need to see De'Aaron Fox find a way to step up. De'Aaron Fox has been all over the board lately. And like just even the energy level, you can see kind of lackluster at times. It feels like, I don't want to say he's coasting in, but it feels like he's coasting in on fumes into the All-Star break. Like this.
So when you say coasting, you mean like he's gas probably and he's just kind of like just kind of I need to get to the All-Star break.
I don't think he's mailing it in.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is he looks like he's run out of juice.
I got you. He's gassed up.
and he needs a week off to decompress, to get right mentally, to get right physically, spend some time with the family, maybe go on a vacation. But that's kind of where we're at with Fox at this point. But you got two games left here, and these are big games, and you need to show up for your team and figure out a way to fight through it, and that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, you might be roughed up or whatever, but like, you're the star of the team. You kind of just, it's kind of what comes with it, being the star of the team. We still need you leading up to this All-Star, but we got two important games right here, and you kind of, like, you can't, like a role player or whatever, maybe he can get away with it, but you lead this team, so yeah, the Kings do need him these next two games, no matter how he's feeling.
Outside of the Fox and Booker matchup, is there another one that stands out to you that you really want to see?
You think Keegan Murray's going to guard KD at all today?
Yeah.
That one?
I think he'll probably defend Booker as well.
I want to see Keegan Murray defending the stars. Not primarily versus a Kevin Durant or a Devin Booker, but more so when he's guarding like those guys. I want to see him guard the stars and see how that ends up. I think that's going to be a big part of today.
Okay. I think it's also interesting because Bradley Beal is back. So you do have sort of their three main guys. And then Nurkic. And like, to be honest, I don't think Nurkic usually plays all that well against Sabonis. Sabonis usually has his way.
Yeah, Sabonis will get his.
Yeah. He. I think Nurkic, in my opinion, does a nice job keeping Sabonis' rebound numbers down. But overall, it doesn't feel like he's all that impactful against Sabonis. And he gets in foul trouble.
Yeah, Sabonis have a big game today.
Yeah, so I think that we've got a lot of key matchups in this game. Again, the Fox-Booker one is one that stands out. But, you know, Kevin Herter's going to have to figure out a way to slow down Bradley Beal. And somebody's going to have to defend, whether it's Keegan Murray or it's Harrison Barnes.
Somebody, please, just step up today.
Somebody has to defend Kevin Durant. And I think that that's another issue that you have with this team. They're going to go small on you. And if the Kings don't make adjustments, then they're going to be in trouble as well.
That was the whole thing in the last Suns game, I think it was, when the Kings blew that massive lead. Oh, they went small against us. All right, well, you better have a game plan for that today.
That's right. That's right. All right, well, we're going to step aside when we come back. We'll have more Sacramento Kings coverage here on The Insiders.
Now, back to The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back into The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. I am James Hamm, joining me Jesse Tapia with Kyle Madsen out today. This is a huge game tonight. We were just talking about, you know, how the Sacramento Kings need to figure out a way to sort of, you know, string some wins together here before they hit the All-Star break. But I think it's also, Jesse, the conversation has to shift to just where the Kings are at in the standings, right? So as of right now, the Pelicans are at 32-22. The Suns are at 31-22. The Kings are at 30-22. And the Mavs are at 31-23. And so you got these four teams that are vying for the 5, 6, 7, 8. Right? And for those who are paying attention, the 7 and 8 are not playoff spots. Those are what we call play-in spots. And your spot in the playoffs is not secured. You got to win your way in. So as of right now, you've got four teams really bunched together, and it's by nothing. Like, again,
half game, I think, between the Kings and the Suns right now. And I think the Mavs just might be like just one game behind the Pelicans, who are 5 and 8 right there between those guys.
Exactly. Well, the Kings and the Mavs are in a virtual tie, like 30-31 wins, but 22 for the Kings and 23 losses for the Mavs. So the Mavs have one more win, but one more loss. So like by percentage points, the Kings are ahead of them in the stand. Realistically, they're tied. So again, we have this crowded field right now. The Kings are 2-1 against the Suns on the season, but we talked about they still have two more games because it's an anomaly, right? Then on top of that, they are 2-0 against the Mavs, and they're 0-4 against the Pelicans. So they lost the Pelicans.
Yeah, not great there.
Not great at all. So what you don't want to do is tie for like the 7th spot or the 6th spot with the Pelicans and lose tiebreakers at the end of the year. But this group of four, which one it sort of sticks out to you that maybe is the scariest of the group?
Pelicans, for the scariest for the Kings?
Well, scary is for the Kings, but
the Kings just the big bad team of this group.
Yeah, the Kings can't lose to them anymore.
I guess the big bad team of this group is the Suns, I guess.
Okay.
Just because they got the stars right now. And the Kings, like, I can't put any, I don't want to say faith in the Kings, but it's just kind of like I can't defend the Kings right now just because they're too inconsistent to defend. I think right now the Suns have been playing better as of late. So, yeah, as far as, like, the scariest, it's the Suns right now, I think.
Yeah, but I would say that all of these teams, to a certain degree, have struggled. They haven't been able to string together long winning streaks or streaks that would convince you that they're certainly none of them are in the top four in the West.
Yeah, they're not those teams, definitely.
Yeah, and so we have this gap, right, between where the Kings are at with all of these other teams, but then the next group of teams, and they're all separated by nothing as well. Like, I don't know if it's one and a half games that separate one through four. You see Minnesota, they picked up a win against the Clippers last night. It gave them a little bit of breathing room at the top. But the other four teams, whether it's, you know, the Thunder and what do we got? The Clippers, the Thunder, the Timberwolves, and the Nuggets, they're all, like, bunched up.
Yeah, the West is honestly kind of, like, it's funny, kind of perfectly broken up. Because you got those top four teams in the top of the West or whatever, which is kind of a half game separates them. Then you got the next four teams where it's, like, a half game separates them. And then it's, like, the 9-10 that outside of the play-ins, like, the same thing there. It's just almost perfectly balanced.
I think it is. You're right. You have your teams that are not going to make the playoffs, and we already know who those teams are. But then you have a group of teams. There might be some conversation as to who makes the playoffs between, like, the Rockets or the Jazz, or who makes, like, the 10th seed and is going to fight it out. But realistically, I think it's kind of separating pretty clearly that it's going to be likely the Warriors and the Lakers. And there's a possibility that either one of those teams can climb up. But for right now, they're three games back.
Yeah, they're working on their own thing right now.
They are. Yeah, I think the Warriors are playing a lot better. The Warriors and the Lakers, that's what I said. Yeah. And but when we get to this group of four, right, that the Kings are locked up with, I think we have two teams that chose one path and two teams that chose the other path at the trade deadline, right? So the Kings and the Pelicans decide to stand pat, and they're going to go with continuity, whatever that means, right? And we have the Pelicans lose. You know, the Pelicans have dealt with injuries because they always deal with injuries, but Dyson Daniels is now out long-term, just like the Kings just had the big blow with Sasha Vezenkov being out long-term, although he's not, you know, a huge part of the rotation, right? I think Dyson Daniels is a much bigger blow for the Pelicans. But I think we're going to be able to test the theory here about continuity and sticking with a group and trying to throw caution to the wind and get better. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, because it's kind of like with the Kings, the Suns, like, they added in Royce O'Neal. They're adding some guys on the bottom. I think they added in Thaddeus Young today, too. And then the Mavs added Gafford and P.J. Washington.
Yeah.
And then you throw it, like you said, with the Kings and the Pelicans. They didn't do anything with the Kings. Maybe you're kind of hoping that your move is that Fox is ready, like, refreshed after the All-Star break. Because right now Fox hasn't been playing up to his standards. So maybe you think, get him out the break, he's refreshed, ready to go, and you get back to that 28 to 30 point per game Fox. And I think that's kind of maybe the plus, the add they're banking on, maybe. And also a refreshed team, too. Like now we're starting to see Harrison Barnes get his shots up and stuff like that. Maybe they're expecting the team just to take that breath.
Yeah, and I think when we walked into this season, everyone in the league looked at the Phoenix Suns and said, oh, man, your bench isn't good enough.
Yeah, this is kind of like, we don't see super teams really anymore, but, like, when you go for that top-heavy team where it's, like, a KD, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker, where, like, you're paying all these top guys right here, throwing the Nurkic or whatever, because I know he's making decent money, you're going to have to – you're thinned out kind of your depth, so you're kind of looking out for the buyout guys. So this is kind of, like, yeah, what's expected from them.
Yeah, so at the deadline, they add – and it's not even that impressive of a group. Like, Royce O'Neal, good defender, but they already had Josh Okogie, who's very similar as a player. David Roddy. You talked about Thaddeus Young is who they're adding today, and then there's a possibility that they'll add Gallinari. Now, I think that's interesting because they really are. We talk about, like, the Kings, will they play on the peripheral, on the fringe, right? This is fringe for me. Like, every single one. I mean, Royce O'Neal probably not fringe.
Yeah, Royce O'Neal's probably the best. Not probably. He's the best of that group.
Yeah, he's the best of that group, and so he's the one guy that you can kind of point to. But I think it really did speak to just how bad their roster construction was going into the season and sort of the instability that comes with having all of these top-tier players and all of the salary. And I'd also point out that there's loopholes. So, you know, the league is trying to tighten up. So what we don't have is a bunch of really good players get bought out on their contracts, and then they go and they play for the Suns or the Lakers or the Warriors and sort of strengthen those teams after in the buyout market. And the Suns are above the apron, so they're playing in that world. But it basically, the players that they can go out and sign, they have to make $12 million or less. They have to be mid-level exception players or below. And right now, that's what you're seeing. You know, again, Thaddeus Young was a good ball player, you know, 5 years ago, but he's just more of a, like, back into the rotation role player at this point. And the same thing with Gallinari. And we don't know what Gallinari has in the tank at all, but, you know, you saw him play a little bit for Detroit the other day.
They are low-end guys, but I don't think they're guys you're not banking on. Because, like, at the end of the day, it's like, all right, no, KD, Booker, Beal, like, you guys are going to have to do this for us. But, like, I think they're expecting maybe these guys just to get us a bucket when you're out there for 5 minutes or whatnot.
Yeah, just kind of hold down everything, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and the same thing with the Mavs. I think the Mavs made some structural changes, but Daniel Gafford, he played really well in their first game and gave him a bunch of energy. Like, he's a big dude. And there's a possibility that he does give them a boost. And I've always liked PJ Washington, but you also gave up Grant Williams. You gave up Seth Curry in that deal. You gave up first round pick. They went all in on like a number 8 seed team.
That's kind of like just with Mark Cuban and that team does, though, no? I feel like they always just kind of go for it when it's like, Mark, you guys aren't really doing anything.
That's not really who you are. You're not really that good.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, and again, I think for, like, if you look at, you compare what they just brought in, I don't know. I think PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford, like, if you compare what they're going to go up against with the Kings, they're not good enough. They're not game changers.
It's not a move where it's like, oh, the Mavericks just jumped the Kings or whatever. Now we should be worried about the Kings. Like, they didn't jump anyone. If anything, they kind of just solidified themselves more. So, like, you can hang in this group more.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Like, their depth definitely got better. And I like their moves more than I like. Well, I like their moves in the short term and just the talent they added more than I like what Phoenix did. But I also know that they gave up first round picks and they've cleared out their cupboard. Like, yeah. They're pretty much all in on this roster, which is difficult to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, isn't it kind of something you're forced to do with the Luka Doncic, though? And you got Kyrie Irving there. Like, you kind of, like, forced your hand where you kind of do have to go for it.
I guess. Yeah. I mean,
because it's not like you're going to rebuild with Luka and Kyrie.
Well, the problem is that you have with Luka is he's only 24 years old. Like,
but he's so good now, though.
He's been so good since he walked into the league in 2018. You're just like, holy cow, this guy's good. And I don't know. It feels like he doesn't age. Like, he doesn't. He's always so young. I mean, yeah. He's got to be 25 at some point during this season. But still, he's just so incredibly good and so young that you expect him to be much older than he is, and he's just not. You know, we're going to have Luka Doncic in the league to remind Kings fans of what they missed on in the 2017 draft. 2018 draft for another, like, 12 years.
Yeah, with these four teams, because I feel like, like, there's a tier, but there's an end of the tier and there's a beginning of the tier. I think the Pelicans are the beginning of the tier.
Yep.
Mavericks are the end of the tier. Which team do you think the Kings are closer to? Because we're only talking four teams right here, so it's a smaller group. But, like, I feel like the Pelicans, like, I trust them more than I trust the Mavericks.
Yeah, so I think it's funny. Like, the Pelicans, although they've thumped the Kings every time, I think if I were going to rate these teams, I would start with Phoenix and then I would go Sacramento. And then it would be maybe Dallas and then the Pelicans.
Oh, so you'd go to the Pelicans at the end.
I would.
Maybe I'm just so used to them being up on the Kings then.
Yeah, but I think that's why. Because, you know, you can say, well, they beat up the Kings, so they're a better team. But again, the Kings are 2-0 against Dallas and the Kings are 2-1 against Phoenix. You know, and I guarantee you that's not going to be the case if you look at Phoenix's record against the Pelicans. And if you look at the Pelicans' record against Dallas, there's no way that they're that much better because, again, they're all around the same point in the standings. They're both, you know, all of them are around the 32 wins and 22 losses. So, yeah, even if I look it up really fast, let's see, where are they at against the Suns? Am I going to be able to even pull this up quickly?
And I guess, like, taking that question too, it's more so, are the Kings, it's like a 5-6 team, do you think, or the 7-8 team?
I've always thought the Kings are more of a 5-6. Like, I thought they would live in the 4-5-6. So, yeah. And the Pelicans are 0-1 against the Suns. And they are 2-2 against the Mavs on the season. So, again, they're all beating up each other, right? If I'm going to choose, like, where I think the Kings should finish, I think the Kings should finish around 5 or 6. Where they will finish, I have no idea. Because what I've seen so far, especially in the month of January and early February, I don't like what I see. I don't like the team that I see.
Yeah, I don't either. I think calling it right now, like they're not who they were last year, I think.
No, they're not. No. And I think that's going to be one of the biggest questions, right? So last year at this time, the Sacramento Kings were almost in the exact same spot, right? Record-wise, I think it's within a game, or maybe it is the same record. And not only that, but, you know, I've talked about this where they hit a switch in the second half and they just rolled, right? So the Kings did a great job of finishing the season. And that's kind of not where I thought that, I didn't think that would happen, number one. But also, I thought that they were playing better going into this, and they weren't. Last year, the Kings were like 6-7 in their last 15 games heading into the break. This year, the Kings are 7-8 in their last 15 games heading into the break. Like, we have to see what they do in the next two games. Hopefully, you'd at least
make
get
it look
a
little nicer. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a split would be huge. You know, like winning both games would be amazing. But at least a split would get you to the point where, you know, over your last 17 games going into the break, you're like 8-9. If you lose both these games and you're like 7-10 in your last 17 games, that's not good.
7-10 in your last 17 games, and like you just lost the game to Phoenix, but you're just battling. Yeah, no one, like, there's plenty not to feel good about too.
Yeah, I think that there's a ton. Even if you come out and start playing really well, and then the Kings did, you know, amazing stuff coming out of the break last year. That's where they really, really feasted. And they, I think they finished, 16-9 in the second half? But realistically, it was 16-6 because they just kind of cashed in the last three games. They were making sure that they're healthy. And to me, that's a big deal, right? So that, can they, in their final, what are they going to have left? Because as of right now, they've got 30. In their final 28 games, can they go, I don't know, again, you'd want to see, I don't think you can go 20-8.
What do you think, 17-11?
17-11, does that do anything? That's not great. I mean, it's good, but I don't know that it gets you.
I don't see a 20-8 team, I'll be real with you.
Yeah.
No. I
don't either. And that's kind of what it's going to take if you're going to be a 5-6 seed.
It's almost so. Coming out the break. They're going to have to prove us wrong. Not more so we're waiting to see what they're going to do, but just like, oh, like, can they do it? But just more so that you're going to have to prove us wrong from what we've seen. Because I feel pretty comfortable about this team, I think.
Yeah.
About who they are.
I think I am too, as of right now. I think if they come out with a different energy in the second half, but every team gets a week off here. And I'm sure that every team has a player or two that looks like they're struggling to get to the break and struggling to moment and need this, like, this breather as much as anyone. I don't think, you know, Fox is alone in that. I think the biggest difference is Fox is a Kings best or second best player, top two player. And that's why we kind of see it more and we feel it more. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think, too, coming out the break, and we talk about the final 28 games for the season, my goal for them, honestly, finish 5 or 6. I don't know if they're going to be able to reach that tier with the top four teams right there. But if they were able to finish at the 5 or 6 seed, the rest of them at coming out the end of the season, I think we come out the season where it's like, okay, yeah, they did something right, the second part.
Okay, and then if you're looking at the top four, like, I think Minnesota is continues to play well, right? And their win over the Clippers, they've put up a couple of straight wins here, but their win over the Clippers it's a win that, like, gives you a little bit of breathing room. They're a game and a half up on Denver, who's a 4 seed, but Denver and the Clippers are tied in a virtual tie, and they're a game up on OKC for the number 2 seed. So Minnesota's holding tough, and their defense, to be honest, is still holding tough. They're
one of the few teams who still play defense in the league.
No, they're the only team. It's not one of the few teams. I guess Cleveland. Cleveland and New York are both under 110 points per game.
Yeah, New York's always in there.
But the 107 per game from Minnesota is pretty stunning. But if I'm looking at these guys, like I could easily see Oklahoma coming back down to earth. They play really hard. They're very, very talented, but they're also very young. They haven't been there before. I think that there could be a concern about them in the second half of the season because they haven't been to this position before. They're kind of like the Kings of last year, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's definitely a world in which I could see them like sort of falling back.
Okay, Larry, let me turn that around then. You could see them falling back, but can you see any of those other teams in that next tier kind of like making a run to kind of move up into that tier, like maybe a Phoenix, Pelicans, the Kings?
Yeah, I definitely could see Phoenix going on a run where they're just monsters and they're cranking up and getting ready for the playoffs. Yeah, I think, again, for me, if you look at this stretch of games that the Kings are in right now, like it's really brutal. They had like an 8-game stretch here where most teams are playoff teams. Most teams are really, really good teams. And you're going to struggle to get wins. Like if you were to split and go 4-4 over like this 8-game stretch that they're in the middle of, I think you would have done well. And I don't know that they can do that. But, you know, we start with Denver and then OKC that they already did. And then Phoenix and Denver. And then they come out of the break. I think they have the Spurs. Then they have something like Denver again, Minnesota, and then one other high-quality team, which I'm not remembering.
It's not so much the tough stretches of games where you're playing, like you said, you just drew it out right there. We have a bunch of good teams coming up. It's not that scares me. It's the – because I know the Kings can compete. It's more so the Kings that scare you coming up, I feel like. Just more so like – I know you can compete with these teams. I know you can get wins, but it's just are you going to?
Yeah, are you going to? But no, I mean, that's a question. But again, okay, so we get Phoenix, Denver, the Spurs, the Clippers, the Heat, the Nuggets, Timberwolves. Then you go into another group of games where, okay, this is where you, if you're going to make a move, this is where you do it. It's in early March. It's a Bulls, Lakers, Spurs, Rockets, Bucks, Lakers, Knicks, Grizzlies, Raptors, Wizards, Magic. Like, that's a group of games, like a 10-game stretch where maybe even 12-game stretch where you could start to make some headway. And that's, if you're the Kings, you have to survive these tough patches in order to get to the soft spots. But there's, like, not a lot of soft spots left.
There's not, but, like it all just comes back down to the Kings. Like, you're a good team. You can compete with anyone. It's just, it's up to them.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree. So, I'm not sure how it's going to play out, Jesse, but
they'll go 4-4. I bet you they go 5-4. I bet you they have it. It's a good stretch of games. I bet you. It's okay. Just because it's just what they do.
Do you think they'll crack that top? Do you think that they can finish 5 or 6, or do you think they can get above that?
I think they can do 5 and 6 the rest of the season, going down the rest of the season. The top four, that ship sailed when they didn't make a move at the trade deadline.
Hmm. Okay. So you believe that continuity is not like again, it's the question I asked Monty, which he kind of clapped back at, like, I used his own words, like, the maintain and improve. Like, I think that they, I thought they could maintain, but now I'm a little sketchy on whether they can maintain because I have much, I thought the vibe going into the second half last year was a lot better than the vibe going in this year.
For this season, it kind of makes me a little nervous, but I think broader picture, nothing's changed for me. I think you could still be the team you want to come the offseason if you make that move. Like, for this season, sure, you didn't make a move. I don't know if you're getting out the first round. You're kind of scaring us a bit. You look like you might be a play-in team. But I think broader picture, like, we get to the offseason, I think you could still make that move where it's like, you're not necessarily, you didn't take any really steps back, bigger picture. It's just you need that bigger move where you get that third player or whatever it is that takes you to the next tier. So I think they're fine, like, as far as, like, you know, going forward. But as far as this season, yeah, it is a little worrisome, I guess.
Yeah, it's a little worrisome. Now, I'm going to ask the horrible question.
Uh-oh.
What's your confidence level that they avoid the play-in and maybe even avoid getting bounced out and not making the playoffs?
I'm gonna go above average confidence. I'm gonna go 6. I think they can beat a Dallas in the. I think they'll avoid. I don't know, James. This team. I can't even say this team gives me no confidence. I don't know. Ask them. Like, they one day they look good, the next day they lose to the 6-1 Pistons. I don't know. I'm trying, but it's like, I also think they can't. Like, I can see it going the other way.
You could see it just, like, complete.
I'm in the middle. I'm at a 5. I'm in the middle. It's like, maybe I could see them going the other way where I'm at a 4.
Do you know?
Maybe
do you
it's
know,
a six.
Do you know how catastrophic missing the playoffs would be?
It'd be horrible.
Not only for the confidence of the team, but the confidence of everything else. Like you could have knee-jerk reactions from ownership.
That's a definitive step back right there.
It's a definitive.
I don't want them to get into the play-in, but if you get into the play-in, you better get into the playoffs. Otherwise, we're going to talk.
It's going to be ugly.
Yes. Yeah. That is not okay. I'll say this. Not making the playoffs, like you can finish at the end of the regular season 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever. Get in the playoffs, because if you don't, then that's the issue.
Okay, that's going to be like a huge issue.
Yes. Well,
which, it's an issue for a bunch of different reasons. Number one, like your fan base is going to be like angry, especially with what the Kings did to their ticket prices. Like what the Kings did with their ticket prices when they made the playoffs is like...
It's a high price ticket now.
It's not realistic. Like, oh, no. Like, and if you're going to ask that, if you're going to want that to be the ticket price, then you got to do better than JaVale McGee, Chris Duarte, and Sasha Vezenkov as your off-season haul. And you got to do better than dumping, getting Robin Lopez and saving $1 million as your second pick at your trade deadline.
That's the thing, Monty. You didn't make any moves like at the trade deadline. That's fine. We get into the playoffs, cool. We don't get into the playoffs, like that's going to be a conversation that gets revisited where it's like, hey, maybe if Monty made a move or whatever, like that would have helped.
A year and a half, realistically, since he's made, like he hasn't made a move really since he signed Malik Monk and traded for Kevin Huerter and drafted Keegan Murray.
That was the last big impact ones, probably.
No, outside of that, yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Everything else is you already did. Like you can't say, well, we retained Harrison Barnes or we retained Trey Lyles. It's like, okay, those were already here. Like, what have you done? So I think it puts him in a really, really bad spot.
Well, there's pressure. You added some pressure from that question because now we got to talk and there's some pressure. I don't think anything crazy is gonna happen, but more so like make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, make the playoffs, and then I'll throw this in, Jesse. You know what happens if you don't make the playoffs?
What's that?
You have to use your 2024 draft pick, which means you don't have a war chest to deal with. Because as of right now, July 1st, they get all their picks back, so they have 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, and 31. They've got 7 years worth of draft picks, which they can trade every other one. So they've got four separate. They could trade four picks for in one deal. They've got all kinds of things that they can do. But if not, now your 25, 26, and 27 picks are still tied up, and you can't trade technically a pick until 28.
There's some stakes in the game here.
Yeah, and even the 28, you can trade 28 and 30. But you can't trade, or you can trade 29 and 31, but it's a mess. You go from having a war chest to not having much, being in the same exact position you are right now, right? So,
it's like, you didn't make the move, and it's like, whether you make playoffs or not, it's like, no matter what, the move does need to happen this offseason, too, I think. Damian has brought it up on D'Lo and KC before. Like, the move does need to happen now this coming offseason. I don't think we can wait any more longer.
Yeah, I would agree with you. All right, we're going to step aside, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the other things around the league. We've got this Kyle Kuzma story, which is really interesting, where he was honest with the Wizards and said, I'm okay here. I don't want to go to the Dallas Mavericks. What does that mean about Kyle Kuzma? Bontemps has his MVP ladder on ESPN. We'll dive into that. We're the insiders here on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. See you in a minute.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.